I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. And get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports. Also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. And then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's going well. I tuned in to hear your interview with Ja and Tuamas. And nice job. It's kind of hard to believe the preseason is days away.
But, right.
Yeah, man. That was some good stuff. I liked what I heard from Ja. It seems like he's in a good place going into this season.
Yeah, and Tomas, George and I discussed this before we played our interview with Ja. But Tomas Isolo, big football guy. I would not have tabbed him as one. Yeah, when we discussed it with him, he says he brings air raid principles into his offensive scheme that he's going to run with the Grizzlies, and I found that rather interesting. And he also brought up the fact, like he was schooling me on the Hal Mumme coaching tree with Mike Leach and all the other. Yes, he knew Hal Mumme had the coaching tree that produced Mike Leach and his coaching tree. I mean, got into it. Ball knower, Tomas Isolo.
Yeah, I'd be less surprised if he was talking about like NFL coaches,
right?
But talking about a college coach who never even coached at a blue blood school, that's pretty niche for a European guy. So I'll give him that. I tuned in around the point when he was talking about plugging 13 holes with 12 plugs or whatever. And I thought that was an interesting analogy, but he seems like a bright guy.
Yep.
Taylor Jenkins was an Ivy League grad too. So obviously it's not so much about, do you have the brains? It's, can you implement and teach the concepts? That's obviously the big question.
Yeah. Now, we have to go ahead and start here with College Football Week 5 with the Gabe Kuhn Show Game of the Week. Oregon on the road against Penn State. Oregon in two overtimes handles business 30-24. And you know that this was my Dante Moore prove-it game, and by God, did he prove it. 29 for 39, 248, three touchdowns, no interceptions, 35 yards rushing, and I thought a lot of those rushing yards were very timely, third downs, and also first and second down to keep his team on schedule, keep his offense on schedule. What did you think of that Dante Moore performance?
Yeah, he's legit. He's a Heisman Trophy contender. He's a complete player who I think is still beginning to scratch the surface of his full potential. And that full potential will manifest itself over the course of the season, especially against lesser defenses. Penn State's big, physical, athletic, and Dante Moore played within himself, played within the system, did everything that his team needed him to do to win the game. But you could see it in moments, getting outside the pocket, hitting receivers in tight windows. And just the moment, I mean, this is his first road start since he was playing for a terrible UCLA team in 2023. And it's about as hostile and daunting of an environment as you could possibly play in. And he handled the moment extraordinarily well. So, yeah, man, congratulations on being right about
sure.
Dante Moore. And I'm sorry that you were wrong about Penn State.
Yeah, I guess I was wrong about Penn State. But I want to elaborate on Dante Moore a little bit more before I get to where I was wrong. You know, I have to talk about what I was right about first. But the one thing is what you mentioned there at the end about Dante Moore that just really surprised me, even more than the stats. He didn't show a lick of emotion until the game was over. Like, I don't remember any time during that game where he seemed flustered at all. Eyes were not too big in that environment. Like, that's what really amazed me about Dante Moore and gives me a lot of hope for especially an Oregon team down the stretch of the season that doesn't really have that daunting of a schedule. Yes, you're going to be at home against Indiana, and Indiana's very good. Fernando Mendoza's right up there as a Heisman candidate as well. But then you have Rutgers, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, USC, Washington. You won't really see any type of environment like this until a Big Ten championship game, until the college football playoff. I mean, that's what we're looking at for Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that was their biggest test in terms of just the environment, the venue, right? Like, it's worth a touchdown, a wideout is, in terms of a point spread. You know, if they played that game at Austin Stadium, I think Oregon is a 3.5-point favorite instead of a 3.5-point underdog. And it wasn't just Dante Moore. I mean, you look at the contributions that, like, DK Moore made in that game. I mean, that dude's a freshman. And, I mean, he was tremendous as well. And so, yeah, that's what's so surprising to me is that Oregon's offense has so many new pieces, including a lot of younger players. And you think about, like, the left tackle is a transfer from Nevada, and he's protecting a quarterback who's never started in this scheme, and their top target is a true freshman. And yet here they are in September going on the road and really outplaying what we thought was going to be maybe the best defense in college football. It's impressive. I think I've put Oregon up there as I would say my pick to win the national title right now, because it still feels like there's another level they can reach.
Yep. Now, Penn State, I think we're at 2-21 against AP top 10 opponents for James Franklin. Listen, I think what changed this offseason going into the season is they had so much returning talent, a lot of continuity, so the expectation changed to, okay, this is a favorite to win the national title. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Still can't quite get over top in these big games. That's the James Franklin experience. And especially looking at what they have now and, you know, trying to predict the future, it just feels like this was the best opportunity he had to sort of run the table in the Big Ten, handle business, and win a national title. I'm not saying that's off the table, all, you know, as we look at the rest of their schedule. Yeah, they have Ohio State on the road. Yeah, they have Indiana still. But that's a tough loss to take at this point in the season at home during your wideout game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they feel a bit like LSU. You know, a team that has a lot of talent, a lot of potential. It seems to have the right coaches on staff. But for whatever reason, it's not clicking, especially on offense. Because you might look at that final score and say, well, you know, Penn State lost 30-24. Okay, well, it went to overtime, and then, I mean, it wasn't until the fourth quarter that Penn State actually had any sort of pulse offensively. I mean, they were horrendous offensively in the first half and really for the first three quarters. I mean, I just remember Drew Aller trying to loft a screen pass over a 330-pound defensive tackle, you know, to maybe pick up, like, 2 yards. And it's just like, hey, what are we doing out here? Like, it just – it was disjointed. It was out of rhythm. It was out of sync. Even their two great running backs, I mean, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, not really ever able to ever get going against Oregon. And it's just like what happened? Why isn't this working? And I think the easy scapegoat is Drew Aller, and he was pretty bad until the fourth quarter. But yeah, I think you do have to go to the top here, because with James Franklin, it's a demonstrated track record now of poor performance against highly rated opponents. And, I don't think you fire the guy. The buyout's prohibitive. He's done overall a really nice job there at Penn State, but I don't blame their fans for being mad either. You can't just keep running up against the ceiling failing to break through and then just be okay with that because right. you're Penn State. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that once every 5 or 6 years you break through and really have a national title caliber sort of team. They've never had that breakthrough. That's a program that should have those breakthroughs every now and then. And so I don't blame the fans at all for being mad at James Franklin.
Somebody posed this question to me about James Franklin because he's not getting fired by Penn State. Penn State fans know that. I don't think Penn State fans are like completely sick of him. I think they see that you win 10 or 11 games. They were in the college football playoff semifinal last year, had a chance to go win it all. And with the 12-team playoff, that seems like it'll be a yearly thing to be able to have that chance again. But somebody did bring this up to me. With all of the jobs that could be coming open this offseason, do you think he'd ever, like, field the thought of, like, restarting the clock somewhere else? You know, in Arkansas, Florida, something like that.
There's a lot of coaches who I think are kind of in a similar position right now in a lot of schools that are hoping that something happens like what happened for Kentucky with John Calipari. All right, we can't fire him because he's done too much. His buyout's too high. But we don't want to move forward with him. What do we do? And meanwhile, it's getting miserable for the coach there as well. You're not going to resign and leave a $40 million buyout on the table or whatever it is. But you're also no longer happy or appreciated where you are. That's the case right now, kind of for James Franklin, with time still for that to change this season. But it certainly looks like after Saturday night, that's where it's headed again with James Franklin. And I think we're kind of there at this point with like a Mark Stoops and with a Brian Kelly at LSU. I think they're headed towards a really ugly October and November. And then I think you could kind of draw that out to a handful of other coaches around the country right now who it's like, we can't afford to fire them, but we're no longer happy with their performance. They're getting restless, and it just feels like there's a bunch of programs. Clemson with Dabo Swinney, same situation, honestly. They need that John Calipari Kentucky off-ramp to present itself. And I think James Franklin is attractive of enough of a coach to where, you know, that could be a very realistic possibility for him and for Penn State.
All right, now we've been having this discussion ongoing, and we didn't want to generalize, but we have even more of an example of this sort of showing through. I'm going to bring up the quarterbacks, but I think when we talk about transfer portal and the teams that took advantage of the transfer portal this offseason, they continue to shine, while the teams that didn't and had a lot more continuity, especially at the quarterback position, continue to fall backwards. But I looked at On3's Heisman Week 6 poll. Dante Moore, transfer. John Mateer, transfer. Diego Pavia was a transfer. Trinidad Chambliss, transfer. Ty Simpson, first-year starter. Fernando Mendoza, a transfer, first-year starter as well at Indiana. I just look around the country at the teams that have gotten a transfer quarterback and have gotten a lot of transfers, and they're succeeding. And I look at the teams that are, you know, were supposed to be the source of continuity, and they all have problems. Clemson being probably the most prominent one at 1-3, but LSU loses when they had the continuity. Penn State loses when they had the continuity. So, like, what do you attribute that to? Like, well, how much has the game changed to where that has sort of become the reality here in 2025?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it underscores the importance of having a strong personnel department, talent identification, and being able to moneyball your way to success and understanding the scheme that you run, what sort of players fit that scheme, and not being unafraid to go out there and get them from the portal if and when you don't have the internal talent there to get the job done. Now, obviously, it wasn't like, you know, nobody was expecting Clemson or Penn State or LSU to go out and replace their quarterbacks, right? Like, you thought you had everything you needed there with the continuity to be national title contenders and be – have Heisman Trophy caliber seasons with those quarterbacks. So I don't know what – I mean, there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to why those programs have failed, but I think the ones that have succeeded with transfer quarterbacks have gone out there with a keen eye for what they're looking for and then aren't afraid to actually roll with those guys and lean into their strengths. Like, you think about Diego Pavia, and it's like, all right, he came with Jerry Kill. It's a package deal. Devin Dampier, who got back on track last week, came with his OC from New Mexico. It's a package deal. So it's one thing to go out and get the quarterback. It's another to actually lean into their strengths. And, I mean, for that matter, I give Lane Kiffin a lot of credit for tailoring and tweaking and massaging his offense to fit a quarterback who doesn't maybe hit the over the middle, you know, sort of stuff as much. Like Trinidad Chambliss is doing a great job of the underneath and the short stuff and hitting on deep balls. They took a lot of shots down the field. You know, they're maybe not running as much intermediate stuff, though, as they would if Austin Simmons was their quarterback, right? So I think that's what it is. I think it's being able to ID the guys who can help you. And then once you get them, you actually have to tailor what you do to what they do well. And, you know, my quarterback power rankings this week, I think 9 of the 10 are, as you mentioned, either quarterbacks who are in their first year as starters with their programs or transfers.
Yep. And CJ Carr, I would imagine, broke through after that win over Arkansas. And we'll talk about Sam Pittman here in a second. He looked great. He looks, as a redshirt freshman, he looks like a guy who will be an NFL draft pick at some point, probably in 2027. All right, now what do I do with Alabama, David? Alabama beats Georgia on the road 24-21. Kalen DeBoer improves to 2-0 against Kirby Smart in Georgia. While Ty Simpson looks solid, they didn't score a point in the second half. And also, if you do the transitive property thing, right? They lost to Florida State to start the year 31-17. Florida State loses to Virginia. Like, what do I do with this Bama team when I know coming up on their SEC slate is a lot of tough games, including even next week against Vanderbilt, who they lost to last year. But then after that, at Mizzou versus Tennessee, South Carolina on the road, LSU, Oklahoma, Auburn to end the year. Like, what do I do with this Alabama team? Because I don't know what exactly they are right now. It's been a mixed bag of results for the most part.
It's all in that defense. So Ty Simpson confirmed what he had showed against Louisiana Monroe and against Wisconsin. He can throw the football. I mean, you mentioned they were scoreless in the second half, but he can throw the football. That offensive staff can dial up a game plan. Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb. Okay, so we got that box checked. The box that I still don't know about is the defense. And you can say, well, they did a good job of holding Georgia in check. I think more than anything, Georgia held itself in check in that game. I thought Georgia's play calling left a lot to be desired. They were behind the sticks all night, third and long. Questionable fourth down play calling, questionable decision making across the board for Georgia. And then Alabama played keep away. I mean, they kept the ball moving. They kept the chains moving. And so Georgia, I thought, was kind of its own worst enemy in that game. Moving forward, though, that Alabama defense still has a lot of questions. Andrew, you think about this week, it's Diego Pavia who beat them last year. And then it's Missouri who looks pretty good offensively. And then it's Tennessee in that Josh Heupel system that's given Alabama some problems over the last 3 years. So, I mean, that's what I still don't know about is, do I trust Kane Womack's defensive unit? Because it kind of feels like we're in the same position we were last year. Alabama beat Georgia. Everybody thinks they're back. Everybody's back on board with Kalen DeBoer. And then this is the exact week that the whole thing fell out against Vandy. And I'm not convinced that doesn't happen again. Whether it's Vandy, whether it's Missouri, I still think that Alabama defense looks pretty gettable.
Yep. Now, Georgia, you talked about play calling, so I would imagine Mike Bobo is sort of on your hit list when it comes to that Georgia offense. But what else are we looking at here? One thing I just noticed the past couple of years, and I think we've discussed this before, is offensive line is not necessarily a strength of theirs anymore. But I think George put this to me, I thought, in the best way in the first segment we had today. The explosive playmaking, the explosive plays are just so limited for that Georgia offense.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. And what we thought that they corrected, because their receiver group, at least on paper, is demonstrably better than that one that struggled with so many drops last season. I mean, they went out and added Noah Thomas and, you know, like Zachariah Branch is a great example. So then why are we giving the football to little what's-his-face with the game on the line twice? I mean, the little gadget receiver. I mean, what is that? Like, so yeah, to me it's about the play calling, because I think they have – the players. They just need somebody who actually puts the players in position to succeed. Cass Jones. Yeah. I mean, you get the ball to Cass Jones
on fourth and
twice.
One, too.
Says, yeah, with the game on the line, including on that fourth down play.
And also, Cass, what are you bouncing it for? What are you bouncing to the outside? Come on, man.
Yeah. But I'll add this. You brought up the offensive line. I do think that's a significant issue. I mean, you know how important the offensive line is. I don't have to tell you, Gabe, but they've had a lot of moving parts on that O-line. Injuries, guys in and out, shuffling positions. And I think when that's the case, and you got an inexperienced quarterback, it can be hard to stand in there and deliver those explosive plays. So there's just maybe a level of discomfort with that Georgia offense right now. But I wouldn't write them off entirely. If Mike Bobo can kind of keep it on the rails and keep them out of all these third and longs, I think they showed me against Tennessee that they still have potential as an offense. I mean, they had to go out and pick up some big first downs and touchdowns, and you know, and there were some explosive plays for the Georgia offense in that game. I just thought the play calling, the execution was just really substandard. And I'm not ready to say that that's who this 2025 Georgia offense is going to be moving forward. I still think I have more hope for the Georgia offense long term, actually, than I do for the Alabama defense, because I thought the Georgia offense was just it just couldn't get out of its own way on Saturday. And when they stopped self-sabotaging, you know, I think they could be pretty good. I think they could go out and score 30-plus against most teams.
All right, now, probably the most likable head coach in college football, or at least one of them, got canned this weekend, and he probably should have. 56-13 at home against Notre Dame. It started as a sellout, and I saw it in the third quarter. It was empty there in Fayetteville. But Sam Pittman has been fired. Where does Arkansas turn from here, right? It seems like there should be a fair amount of options out there on the open market that they can look at. I think it starts with Bobby Petrino, though, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the embarrassment of all embarrassments.
I agree.
To go back, well, have some dignity, have some self-respect. And golly, please at least conduct a coaching search. Don't just let him go out here and go, how many games they have left? You know, 7 games. If he goes 4-3 or 3-4, don't just talk yourself into it. You know, please conduct a coaching search here. I am curious, though, because honestly, if they're looking at Petrino, which they are, it says to me they're not opposed to retreads. So which other retreads out there? Because that's one of the advantages of firing early, is you might not have to wait until the end of the season to get your next guy in there. So who's available right now? Well, you could hire a Jimbo Fisher or a John Gruden right now or by the end of October and let them get a jump on building everything out. You know, so I'm just curious. Like, do you think they're serious about going the retread route? And if so, would they call Gruden or call Jimbo? I'm just saying, if you want to make a splash at Arkansas and you want to hire a retread, hire Jimbo Fisher, who's won a national title, or hire John Gruden, who's won a Super Bowl. Don't go back to the guy that brought endless amounts of shame on your university in Bobby Petrino.
I think that when it comes to the quote-unquote retread, I don't know if they're going to dip into that bag immediately with guys that are available. I wonder if that conversation we had earlier about guys restarting the clock, the John Calipari route, believe it or not, you know, he went to Arkansas after Kentucky. He had worn his welcome out. I wonder if they have their eyes on a couple of guys like that, because Arkansas seems like a decent spot for some of those guys to restart the clock if they want to, because the expectations aren't inordinately high, and you can recruit, and you can also eventually, and we'll see what they do before they make the hire, but you could probably convince some folks behind the scenes to pony up a lot of money. They have some big name, big money donors that they just haven't quite unlocked yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point you kind of got to comb through the Big 12 and the ACC and see, hey, who might be looking to make a jump? Does Matt Campbell want to dip his toe into the SEC waters? Like, that makes sense to give him a call. You know, Rhett Lashley has some ties to the state of Arkansas. SMU's not having the best of seasons, you know, so maybe you hit him up. Those are a couple. I mean, Fran Brown has a lot of SEC ties. He's doing an okay job up at Syracuse, so – yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a hopeless situation for Arkansas, but at the same time, if I've got a job and Arkansas calls me, I'm going to have a lot of questions about the financial commitment they have and how that compares to the other schools in the SEC, because we know that Arkansas is serious about winning in basketball. We know that they're serious about winning in baseball. It costs a lot of money to bankroll those rosters. All right, how much do you have left to fund a football roster? I think that's probably my first question if I'm getting an interview for that job.
All right, now real quick, Memphis, 55-26 over Florida Atlantic. They improved to 5-0. They're going to have Tulsa coming up next weekend. There's one thing I need to say. I think that they know who they are, at the very least. I heard John Martin talking about this earlier, but they're top 15 in yards per attempt on the ground, ran for another 300 against Florida Atlantic. They're top 15 in points per game. They're top 15 in opponent yards per carry. They have a really good rush defense. Defensively in the secondary, they're going to give up yards, but hopefully they're opportunistic. And another trend that's showing up is first half of games, second half of games, they absolutely take off, including a 31-point fourth quarter against this Florida Atlantic team. So they're 5-0 with five covers. They're rolling right along. But one thing that is impressive to me, 72 new players, and they seem to have an understanding of who they are as a football team.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's remarkable to see. The main part of the identity that I keep latching on to is explosive running plays, man. Like, I don't know that there's a team in the country that's been more explosive on the ground in terms of huge chunks, game-changing plays in the run game by multiple backs. It's Sutton Smith and DeRozier. Like that, it was DeRozier, right, who had the 90-yard run.
Yep. First since 1966, by the way.
So believe it or not, I was actually paying a good amount of attention to this game because Oregon Penn State was just so tough to watch for a while, and then of course, you know, I had Alabama Georgia on, but I had this one on as well. And you know, I thought when they got pinned back after that, that was a really nice punt by FAU. You know, Memphis hadn't been playing real well up to that point. You know, it's like, man, this is gonna get dicey here. Like, this is gonna be.
And Brendan Lewis
game.
Had shown that he had the shoulder thing going. I was kind of concerned at that point.
That was worrisome, yeah. He looked like he was in pretty serious pain. I hope he's okay. But yeah, then they just turned it on, and it was due to the run. And I think Brendan Lewis is kind of the perfect QB for this. You know, he keeps them on schedule. He keeps them out of penalties. He takes care of the football for the most part. And, yeah, so Memphis is heading in the right direction. I've got them in the top 25 of my CBS Sports 130. I think that's well-deserved now. And then look, you look around the league, it's still going to be a slog. Like, I don't think there's anything that's going to come easy in the AAC this year when you think about how good some of the other top tier teams are in this league. But yeah, Memphis, to your point, it has an identity. They're tough on the line of scrimmage and they can run the football with the best of them.
Yep. And it's kind of funny. Their offense is just as good as it has been from a yards perspective and from a points perspective as it has been the last 2 years with Seth Hennigan. It just looks different. It's just so it's not as, I mean, I guess the 90-yard run is visibly fun, you know, for fans to watch. But it's not the just big throws downfield, explosive plays through the air. They're doing it on the ground. It's just visibly different, even though the stats are just as good as they were with Seth Hennigan. It's
well, I think you have
and
to
I think
Ryan
also
that.
To be fair and to give a lot of credit to a guy, Tim Kramsey, he's shown his strengths. Like, he's a strong offensive coordinator since he got to the University of Memphis, doing it in different ways, and he's tailored this offense to Brendan Lewis and his strengths and to that offensive line, to those backs in a big way, while still keeping a semblance of the pass game alive. Cortez Bram has come along pretty well.
Honestly, I was about to say, how big of a pickup was that? Like, you remember, I mean, it wouldn't have slam dunked that he was going to be eligible. He was a late addition. Now you see how badly they needed him, because he's been probably the best receiver, most reliable target for Brendan Lewis. But yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. With Kramsey in, I would give credit to Ryan Silverfield for this as well. The ability to adjust and adapt and play a totally different brand of football than what you've played previously based on the personnel that you have. That not all coaches can do that and do it successfully. And Memphis clearly is. So you talk about Ryan Silverfield, and he's it feels to me like it's taken him a long time to gain the trust of this fan base for given the level of success that he's had. But I hope at this point, after a 5-0 start with a win over Arkansas, after consecutive, double-digit win season.
Covered every game, by the way, too, this year.
For sure. You know, I feel like he's earned trust. And you better trust him. You better appreciate him. Because if not, you know, there's going to be some ACC or Big 12 schools out there tonight.
He's come up for Arkansas. Even. I mean, there's interest now building around the country for what Ryan's been able to accomplish. Because you no longer can say, well, he didn't just crash the – you know, all he did was he didn't crash the Ferrari that was there at Memphis before. Now he's got his own guys in there, turned over a full roster, and is having more success than he's ever seen. So
yeah, and in some ways, I think you could you could almost call it like the, you know, he's almost like a, like on a James Franklin level of success at Memphis, in the sense that, like, he's got this program operating at a very high level. Now, have they had that ultimate big breakthrough that we're all still looking for? No, but I think you have to acknowledge he's done a very, very good job to this point. And so, you know, yeah, you eventually need that breakthrough, and Memphis is a place that should get it. But no, he's doing a really, really, really nice job.
For sure. Well, David, I'll let you roll, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. We will talk to David again on Wednesday. But he is David Cobb, college basketball, college football for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. If you go, follow him. All right, now right back into the Grizzlies 2025 Media Day grind. Jaren Jackson Jr. joins on the other side. Make sure you stick around for that. Back in Grizzlies Media Day 2025, Gabe Kuhn here with Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren, what's happening, man? How are you?
Man, I'm good, man. The energy's great in here. It's vibrant. It's a new year. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, how's your offseason been? I know I got to catch up with you at the Memphis football game week one against Chet.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, sit there and take a picture with my crying baby.
Yeah.
So, sorry for doing that to you. But how's your offseason been besides that, man?
Yeah, you reminded me of that. That was funny. It's been great. I got to travel a little bit. I didn't really take that much time off in the beginning, you know. Probably like 2 days after the playoffs was over for us, you know, I was back here working out, and then just everywhere working out. Was able to sign here, you know, longer, which was great for me and my family. It was a beautiful moment. And yeah, man, I'm ready for the season.
How was the process of getting the extension done? Just simple, straightforward, or was there a little bit of back and forth? How'd that go?
Life be life, and man, that's just how life be life, and man, I took some time to really just process my thoughts during that time. I have a great team of people who take a lot of weight off me in that area. You know, Austin Brown is just getting it done at a high level. So
yeah. Shout out.
Yeah, shout out Austin, man. Yeah. Shout out Max Sedman. Shout out all my guys, man.
Yeah, we can pass through this quick, but injury, we learned about it a little bit more. 4 to 6 weeks is the timetable, I believe. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling physically, though, with that turf toe?
I feel good. I mean, you know, you have to be cautious of certain things. Like, you're going to feel good, and then there's time of ramping up just your overall body and your wind and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think everybody will be pleased with whatever. Hey, the timeline is the timeline, and I just follow what everybody says. And you know, I have a great medical staff here.
Yep.
We're the best in the world. So
for sure. All right, now I've seen pictures of it, but now I see you in person with number 8 on. Kind of is playing with my mind a little bit. What went into the number switch? I know you talked about it with multiple people. You put out a video on Instagram, but what went into the number switch?
Yeah, I mean, this is a number my dad wore. We've shared a number before. We shared 2. When I was in college, and it just was always meant to be. I mean, it's 8 means a lot of things, a lot of powerful things, a lot of rebirth. It means a bunch of things if you look it up. And it means a lot to me and my family. And yeah, man, this is a decision I made to honor him in the best way possible. And it just signals, you know, a new chapter in my life going forward. And I feel great about it.
All right. Now, a lot of things are the same. You're still with the same team. You signed the extension this offseason, but you have a different head coach this year. Now, he was there, Tomas Isolo, down the stretch of the season. But what has changed, and what has also stayed the same from year to year with that coaching switch?
I think his philosophy is speed kills. You're going to hear a ton of that from him. And he's just super locked in. I mean, a lot of coaches in the NBA are locked in. Coach Taylor was locked in as well. And, he's amazing too.
Yeah.
So I'm having the pleasure to be around some high-level coaches, some high-level personnel. The staff is locked in. I mean, we're ready to get going. We're behind him 100% with his philosophy, and he's going to have us working, so it's
and
great.
I heard him when he was talking to the media today at his presser compare what you guys do to with motion to Sunday Night Football, so I'm already a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad. All right, now final thing. I just am curious. I'm gonna ask Ja this a little bit later as well. ESPN NBA rankings. Do you guys pay attention to those at all? You came in at number 31. I don't know if you know that or not, but how much do you pay attention to the ESPN sort of NBA rankings, top 100 that they get posted?
I feel like there's just so many publications these days.
Yeah.
There's a lot of media outlets. I'm happy for everybody. You know, get your money and speak your mind, free speech, and you know, it's entertaining. You know, that's a whole different sport in itself. Just being a fan is a whole different journey now, and there's so many different things. But I just feel like I'm just not. It's just hard for me to keep up. Like, yeah. It's literally
the
just
Ringer
it's a lot
one,
of
ESPN yeah. does one.
It's a lot of information. Right. So I've kind of over the years just kind of been like, all right, well, I don't know. It's just hard to find websites and find like, accounts that are real or knowing what's what and what's on why is what. I kind of gave up.
I would say that's a different conversation altogether. Like,
yeah, it is.
Every tweet I see, I have to go like double check it.
I know. I just got tired. I don't understand. Maybe this is getting older. And I just go outside, man, touch grass or something. Yeah, man. That makes more sense. I can't understand this other stuff. So
yeah, for sure. Well, I'll let you roll, man. Jaron, appreciate it.
Yeah, it made sense when I was a kid, though. It was fire. Yeah. I bet it'll circle back, you know, one day when I, you know, my nieces and nephews, they be calling me, my little cousins, they call me and tell me this stuff. So
yeah.
whenever they catch up on it, you know, they'll show me what TikTok and all that stuff.
For sure. They all right, enjoy yourself the rest
for
of the
sure.
day.
For sure.
That was Jaron Jackson Jr. a little bit earlier. I enjoy his thoughts there at the end about NBA on ESPN, top 100, where he was ranked, where Ja was ranked. He just doesn't seem to care, even in the slightest.
Not even a little bit.
I completely understand it. And then, you know, telling us that, you know, sometimes he has to get outside and just touch grass. Yeah.
I think we'd all be better off if we did
if we just went
outside a little bit.
I agree with him. I completely agree with him. I do like that he gave the nod to media members. He said, "You guys, you know, you gotta make some money.
I'm gonna get your bag.
You gotta get your bag every once in a while. So, put out your opinions as they come. I hear it. But Jaron is definitely one of my favorite interviews.
He's fun every time.
Over with the Grizzlies, no doubt about it. Very personable guy. You ever see him outside of basketball? Down to earth as well. Glad he got his bag. Glad he's part of the Memphis Grizzlies going forward. No doubt about it. Now, if you want to check out all these interviews that we've already had, you go to 929ESPN.com. They will be posted. Are they posted yet, George? Worth asking?
That I'm not totally sure
okay.
yet. Let me
check if they're posted. But there were some other interviews that we were able to do. 929ESPN.com. Ty Jerome, Scottie Pippen Jr., Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Very good sit down conversation with him a little bit earlier today, Zach Edey. So there's a lot more.
They have not yet, but they will be up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and we will talk with Cedric Coward here at 6:30 as well as part of our coverage of Grizzlies Media Day 2025. But just wanted to throw that out there. Everything is posted up at the site, 929ESPN.com.
Who do you think was the best interview today?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Because we got some really good ones today.
Coach Isolo. I thought he was very good. But I have to give it up to I guess they're calling him Kenny, even though I know him as KCP. We talked to him, we joked with him off air a little bit about it because I heard everybody call him Kenny. I'm like, they call you Kenny? He said, yeah, they say KCP's too hard. And I'm like, I don't know.
Even
in
Ja,
what world?
Even Ja, like, yeah, on air, called him Kenny. Like...
But Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I was really impressed with his thoughtfulness and what he brought to the table. And he seems, you know, happy with the trade, quite frankly, and seems to be all in for the Grizzlies. And here's the thing, like, for those that know the history with, like, veterans coming into the city of Memphis, I talked with Marcus Smart before he, you know, started playing with the Memphis Grizzlies, and I just got a different feel from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope about his role with this team and how much he wants to play it as opposed to Marcus Smart. Because I know there was a lot of conversations about if Marcus Smart wanted to be here or not. I got a completely different vibe off of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope altogether. It feels like he's bought in. Leadership role's good with him. He fully understands that he's been in the league 13 years, and he can impart some of that wisdom onto some of these younger guys on this team. He's won 2 championships, so and also how he learned—it's kind of tough.
That was
tough.
I
can say it here. You can go listen on 929ESPN.com. But he was in Turks and Caicos with his family, with his full family and his full team, and he was taking a Father's Day shot Father's Day shotgun was around Father's Day. And his phone was ringing off the hook. And he says his agent, usually if his agent calls twice, he knows it's not that important. He can call him back later. But his agent was blowing up his phone like six or seven times. So he finally picked it up and called him back and realized what had happened. Then social media blows up. He didn't want to tell his family at first. He wanted him to enjoy the day, but they started to figure it out. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll come back with small talk, and we have a certain ESPN analyst who may not be an ESPN analyst for much longer. He may be getting into government. Let's discuss it on the other
side. I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. And get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now we go to ESPN, where there's an interesting story about one of their analysts. Obviously, it was not published by ESPN, the original story. It was OutKick who got to this news first. But Paul Feinbaum has told people he is considering running for the Alabama Senate seat that is opened up by Tommy Tuberville, since Tommy Tuberville has announced that he will run for Alabama's governor. He said that he's going to do this. Feinbaum, who voted for Donald Trump in the 2024 election, says he has been awakened by the September assassination of Charlie Kirk. It prompted deep reflection. He's 70 years of age, but he says that he could leave ESPN to run for the run as a Republican for the Alabama Senate seat opened up by Tommy Tuberville. This is a very interesting thing. We know that Paul Feinbaum can speak with the best of them, okay? He can talk. I don't doubt if he got to the Senate floor, he'd be able to speak his mind relatively eloquently. Yeah, that's been his job for the better part of 45, 50 years. What I do find interesting, though, is I never really knew he was the political type. in any way, shape, or form. When you hear him, it's all college football all the time. Even on his podcast visits, I've never really seen him go on any political aimed podcast. Never heard him speak his mind even on a sports podcast when it came to the political sphere. So this does surprise me to a certain extent. I didn't know Paul Feinbaum was interested in getting into government, but here we are, and it could very well happen.
Hey, I mean,
this is the same Senate seat, though. Tommy Tuberville's leaving behind. Paul Feinbaum and Bruce Pearl were the two names that came up with Tommy Tuberville leaving it behind. I mean, that's just interesting to me. Like, I'm all for getting away from normal politicians. Like, I get that. But, like, do we have to go sports? Like, do we have to go college football, college basketball for that Senate seat?
I mean, again, like, after my only thing is like, following up after Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah, and the jokes are coming in hot and heavy.
Oh, that doesn't
One of my favorite ones is somebody saying, imagine Paul Feinbaum on the Senate floor for a hearing, and they say, Senator Feinbaum, you have the floor. And he responds by saying, I yield my time to Frank and Macon. Go ahead, Frank.
Will he get to bring the TV with him? With the screen, with just the caller's picture? And
maybe. I don't know.
I mean, look, if that's what he wants to do,
Go for it. Obviously, you have to get through some level of primary as the Republican candidate, but the Republican candidate absolutely going to win that seat in the state of Alabama. So if he makes it through and ultimately is the candidate, he would be the senator for that part of the state of Alabama, which is just Senator Feinbaum. How does that have a ring to it? Do you like that? Do you like him better or worse than Tommy Tuberville before him?
Oh, well.
If he's the successor.
One was not a great football coach. You know, one's been a pretty good on media.
He's been very good.
So, you know.
All right. Now, hour number three is on the way. Harold Grader will join next to college football. Then we'll get back into Grizz Media Days. Grizzlies' number 11 overall pick in the 2025 NBA draft, Cedric Howard, will join at 6:30. Stick around for all of that coming up next.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma
With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.